Good morning, good morning, good morning. Donor Bra starts the Monday edition for the 26th day of October. Starts right here, right now, on your Voice of Barbados. I'm your host, the moderator, Corey Lane, backed by producer and technical operator, Mr. John the Lion Stout. And as usual, we go until 2 p.m. this afternoon. What a pleasure to be with you on a weekday. Just getting back my bearings as I sit in today, as I fill in today, for this, the Monday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Now today, let's get started and let you understand the agenda, what we have on the menu. Monday's menu is we're looking at the whole day of Global Business Week 2020, and we'll be joined for the first half of the program from 10 a.m. till noon. We'll be talking to the folks at BIBA, the Barbados International Business Association. I see we have two guests lined up already. We have Ms. Carmel Haynes and Mr. Derek Cummins. We are going to be talking to them. And of course, we'll be talking to you. So we'll be talking all things BIBA for this first part. I know you want to hold the focus. So those of you calling in, I hope that's what you're calling to talk about. And if not, we'll have to reserve a lot of the commentary that you may have had lined up for post 12 o'clock, just afternoon. We'll be able to speak with you unless it's something you can relate it to this whole idea of Global Business Week 2020 and those folks over at BIBA. I want to say good morning and welcome to Carmel. Good morning to you there. Let's start with you, Carmel. Tell us about this week of activity and Global Business Week 2020. Especially in light of, this must be a very different Global Business Week this year, 2020.
Hi, good morning, Corey. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for having us this morning. So yes, just to start that Global Business Week, it's not necessarily a new concept, it's just a new name. Over the last 12 years, we've been staging an International Business Week of activities each October. But this year, given everything that has happened in terms of the changes to our legislative regime, et cetera, we have shifted to rename it as Global Business Week. And what we're really trying to do is send the message that global business is business that takes place from not only from outside coming into Barbados, but also there are several, you know, domestic companies who really are players on the global landscape, you know, such as, for example, Sagicor. We have the Godrej Group. We have some really large players here as well. And we wanted to really send the message that BIBA is all embracing of these global companies, whether they are from outside coming in to set up and take advantage of our business climate in Barbados, or whether they're homegrown companies looking to move out. And so this year, the theme that we have adopted is adapt, evolve, execute, lead the change. And we hit upon this theme because given everything that's going on with COVID, with some other challenges that we're facing, we really felt we wanted to place an emphasis on residents and organizations involved in global business to be able to adapt to the changes taking place, evolve as the environment demands, and really execute on strategy by taking action. And then we added the mantra, lead the change, the call for each individual or business to lead the process of change within their industries and to drive their respective organizations forward. And we feel that by doing this, we will also drive the economy forward because Barbados is in a somewhat precarious position now given COVID. And while everybody focuses a lot on the fallout that has happened in tourism, we like to point out that the global business sector is actually the most resilient sector right now, given everything that's happening. And we can really help to fill the gap and help to drive the economy forward. And so that's what we are really here to send the message of. You know, don't lose hope that there is also another sector of the economy that's really trying to pick up and help take the economy forward.
Excellent. That was Executive Director of BIBA, Carmel Haynes. And now we'll go over to for our opening statement from the President, Mr. Derek Cummins. Good morning and welcome to you, sir. All right, we are not hearing you. You're on mute. You're not muted. We're not hearing Derek. We'll give him a chance to.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you
now. Yes.
Excellent. Go right
okay,
ahead.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. I say good morning, Corey, and good morning to VOB Country. We're really happy for the opportunity this morning to come and discuss Global Business Week, but also global business, international business sector in Barbados as a whole. As Carmel would say, this is our 12th year of putting on Global Business Week and our flagship session at the conference. Global business has been, we've been doing business from in Barbados to the world for many, many years, decades really. The point that we want to make this year and make it stronger and more than ever before is that it is not for just a few or a select few of persons who benefit from global business, but we want to emphasize the fact that global business is a benefit to all of Barbados, directly, indirectly, to the government, to other sectors. And it's so important to recognize that as all of Barbados faces challenges from COVID, that this sector also faces challenges beyond, even beyond COVID. There are externalities, exogenous variables and impactors that are having an impact or that could potentially have impact on this sector. We want to make sure that there is a rallying cry from Barbados generally, from the business, from the general public, that Barbados is a sovereign nation. It has a right to self-determine. So of all the things we talk about this week and we talk about the months going forward, we want to engage all of Barbados. And there's something that we've always attempted to do with Global Business Week. From the career showcases at the university to the school symposiums where we invite fifth and sixth form, particularly business students, to hear and to interact with our professionals, to our public discussion forums that are always very well in sponsored and engaged on, where we get to tell about and have a rigorous discussion with Barbados about the sector, the strengths and the weaknesses and how we can add value. So Corey, what we want to say today is that global business is for everybody's benefit here in Barbados.
All right, I want to add some context, and usually when we are on these mass-based programs, I like to bring the listeners, the audience in, helping them to understand the connection to you. So you at home listening, ask yourself a question, Biba, I'm not an international firm. Why do I have to listen about Biba? My first time paying real attention to Biba would have been reading some studies that Biba was involved in. I think it was back in 2013 or 2016 about where they were showing that the lack of ease of doing business was actually costing Barbados a lot of investment and also costing us a lot of jobs. In that particular study, I think it showed that Barbados had lost over a period of time, I can't remember, but $1 billion in investment and 1,000 jobs in a short space of time. And it made me, I sit up and I said, and it pricked my attention. For those listening, the Barbados International Business Association is a not-for-profit private sector organization. It provides a network for meetings and exchange among persons involved in international business. Biba serves as the growing voice in development of international business in Barbados and has over 170 member firms at this time. So outside of tourism, international business is probably the next best foreign exchange facilitator into Barbados. And therefore, as the President Cummings was saying just now, is it really benefits all of us to get these businesses coming and doing this business internationally and getting foreign exchange and a better standard of living for all Barbadians. And that is how you are actually involved. Now, when I look at the theme, Carmel, I want to come back to you. Adapt, very apt at this time. Evolve, that a lot of that is happening. Execute. Now, I want to underscore the execute. You see, one of my things is being an action Jackson. So for me, how do we execute differently in a time of COVID to ensure that we can maximize the benefit to Barbados through international business?
So one of the things that we've really been encouraging, and this also comes back to the point that you were making about business facilitation, is that Barbados has to understand that we must remain open to business. So, you know, when the lockdown happened, Derek can well tell you that even though a lot of other domestic, both private and public sector agencies might have been struggling in how to pivot towards working remotely, how to transact business, you know, digitally, the global business sector was already there. We were able to easily pivot and in some cases to fast track some, you know, different ways of doing business to be able to continue working, because we have clients, our members have clients from all over the world. And in not all cases, as you would know, did economies stop, did lockdowns happen at the same time? And so therefore, that one of the messages that we are trying to send, and we're very encouraged by what the Ministry of Information and was it MIST, mm-hmm. Information Science
and Smart Technology.
Thank you, and smart technology is doing. And also we're seeing a digitization of the various agencies that assist in facilitating business. So you're seeing a transformation in immigration, you're seeing a transformation in corporate affairs and intellectual property. We've heard recently that the judicial system is also going to be moving towards a certain level of digitization. And so therefore, being able to really continue to work in the face of not just the pandemic, but Barbados is in a hurricane belt. Every year we are threatened with, you know, potential disaster. And luckily we have not been struck in such a way where we've had business or operations, you know, need to go down for any real length of time. But were that to happen, we need to know that businesses can continue to keep running. They can continue to connect to the outside world. And in that way, the economy can keep running because transactions are still happening. Multi-million dollar transactions are still happening that redound to the benefit of Barbados through inflows of foreign exchange and various fees, etc.
Again, that is a way it can probably bring in the wide cross section of people listening to understand business facilitation, international, and also benefits local. So when you think of the ability to pay your driver's license online, the whole certificate of character, which was a major thing in that a lot of people could not get business done without it. And the way it was set up previous was, let's say, not the best ease of doing business. And all those things have now been actually evolving. I don't know if only because of COVID, but COVID has definitely been able to give it that kickstart that is that has been needed. I want to bring in the public after a little bit more discussion with you guys. So I just want to remind people, you can give us a call at 434-1790. That's 434-1790. Or you can send your WhatsApps to 266-4862. And you could communicate with us either way. For you, Mr. President Cummings, the whole idea that we're looking at international business at this time, for the average person out there, again, I want to be able to spend this first part of the program emphasizing for them the benefits to them directly and indirectly. So I want you to actually go and speak to them directly in terms of how the linkages are made.
Thanks. So let's do directly first. International business, of which we have 770 member companies under BIBA. Right now, I employ about 4,000 Barbadians. So that's your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your neighbor. Okay, that's the guy who shops at your store, who buys your groceries, where you work, etc. So that's the very first thing. And with that comes that taxation, PAYE, that goes into the government coffers, that helps to do all that the government has to do. Separate from the PAYE of these 4,000 employees, we have the corporate tax, which the government earns from these companies. The most recent central bank report showed that even though we streamline our tax rate and we took down the ring fence and we made a new lower tax rate, international companies were able to add and bring an increase in the tax rate, in the tax revenue to government from what we do. So again, that goes into the coffers of government. Government is able to do the West Coast roll that they're doing now and do the South Coast roll that they're going doing mm-hmm. two stages, etc. We get the free education that will feed into more brilliant minds coming into the sector again. So those are the start. Now let's look at, again, when we have expatriates coming to Barbados. And at some point today, we'll talk about our immigration processes. Look at the ability, and you mentioned that 2013 study. The reality is our expat community is smaller than it was back in the 2000s, 2005, 6, 7, 8. But when we have expats here, they're renting our homes. Their kids are going to our private schools. They're grocery shopping. They're driving the cars. And they're living here. They're dining at the restaurants. And this feeds into the wider community. You're providing food to the restaurants. You're providing them beverages to the restaurants. You have your own restaurant that is feeding into that. You work at the school as a security guard, or you're a teacher at the schools where they are sending their kids. That's further employment. So it renounces all the way through. We look at, even though the expat community is down, we have board meetings, and from mind and management, directors travel to Barbados for these board meetings. When directors travel, they do hotel room nights. That we are working with the tourism industry to see how we can better classify those room nights, not to be captured only as in tourism, but it's international business contribution. There are issues with statistics and how we collect and put out statistics. We're trying to work on that. But the reality is it renounced to every area of the economy. And when someone comes to Barbados for business, they come in, they may spend a night, two nights, and they say, oh, well, you know, the next time I'm coming, I'm going to bring my wife, I'm going to bring my husband, I'm going to bring my kids. And after I've done my business, I'll stay another five nights. I'll see the island, I'll drive around to the East Coast. I'll stop at the bar and restaurant in Bashibur and have a lunch, have a beverage. And it's getting the foot wet that they may recognize, hey, Barbados is an amazing place to live, and mm-hmm. oh, they're fully connected. I can work here also. And then it initiates their understanding of what Barbados has to offer, and then allows an opportunity for them to bring a greater level of direct foreign investment. So it does renown beyond just outside of the office to the streets.
I have some follow-up questions I need to ask you on that in terms of the role of BIBA for lobbying. For when these people come here and they try to do business and it takes them 9 months to register a vehicle, for example, and they decide to go back to Chile, as an example, anecdotal as it may be, I want to know the role of BIBA of kind of like avoiding and preventing these circumstances, because if we draw them in, they get to see our nice people, our beaches, our scenery, and then have to deal with the nightmare of getting business done. It defeats mm-hmm. the purpose. But we'll talk about that when we come back. It's 20 minutes yeah. after 10. You're listening to the Monday edition of Down the Brown Stacks. We'll be right back.
Join us tonight, October 26th at 7 p.m. for our annual public discussion forum. The topic being explored is diversity of global business, the Barbados unique perspective. This topic will examine diversity and the role it plays within global business in Barbados. Senator the Honorable Liesl Cummins, Minister of Tourism and International Transport, Gregory McConney, President and CEO of Brookfield International Bank, Dr. Antonio Aline, Lecturer in Economics, University of the West Indies, Cable Campus, and Moderator Henderson Holmes, former Executive Director of BIBA, will be panelists for the discussion. Visit www.gbw.biba.bb or call 246-537-2422 for information on how to register.
Okay, welcome back. So, before we went to the break, we wanted to look at the whole idea of your role as a lobby on behalf of international business and behalf of Barbados, really, to ensure that these people, when they come here or when these businesses show up here, that they can be facilitated and that they stay. So, Carmel okay. or Derek, go for it.
So, okay, I'll start that and then hand off to Carmel. The reality is we do this along with one of our biggest partners, Invest Barbados. Invest Barbados often is an initial point for a lot of foreign direct investment. Getting persons interested in Barbados, marketing Barbados, and then pointing them and guiding them sometimes on how to get established, which service providers to go to, how to get past immigration, not get past, but how to get through the immigration process and all the other processes, town planning, et cetera. And Biba works along with that. And Biba, if you are here, when you're here, we work to champion the cause of the companies in the sector and also champion the cause of government back to the companies in the sector. We are that bridge between the government and the operators in the sector. And the reality is, ease of doing business is what we've heard of. We've heard again and again and again. It's a word, it's a phrase we are almost tired of hearing, but it is absolutely critical. So we highlight the issues that our members are having. We take them to the different ministries, to immigration, to BRA, to KAIPO, to international business, etc. And we try to champion those causes to get improvements. And we've had some success. We do have the ear of these ministries and these departments. When we go, they do listen, and to the best that their resources are able to improve, they do make an effort. On the other hand, when there are any other changes to companies act, to legislations, to directives, to guidances from government, and they are often disseminated through Biba to the sector. So the reality is we are trying to get a platform on which we can do better business, we can do faster business, we can do more efficient business, and ultimately we can do way more business. So that is one of the key drivers and roles of Biba. Carmel, you can add to that.
All right, thank you, Darren. So also I would like to reiterate something that you alluded to, Corey. When we lobby and champion these changes, it is not something that is ring-fenced and only redounds to the benefit of the sector, right? Once we execute on these changes, it means that you're seeing the wider business community and even the individuals benefiting. So, for example, not even just with business facilitation, as Derek noted, the global business sector has been around in under various names. Might have been called the offshore sector before, the international business, now we're global business. But doing, you know, international business in this way has been in Barbados for close to, well, over five decades, right? And a lot of the positive change that you would have seen has in part been driven by the fact that this sector and the needs of this sector exist. I mean, so we have some very robust telecommunications connections, networks here in Barbados. You know, without companies that needed to have dedicated lines to be able to conduct, you know, fast-paced transactions globally, trades, you know, in milliseconds, et cetera, without that sort of demand coming from our sector, you might not have had at the pace at which you've seen telecommunications advance, because there was a need and companies needed to meet that need in order to ensure that the large business that you know, they benefited from would continue to stay here. You have the or flight network or network of, or we are a hub in the Eastern Caribbean for many metropolitan cities in the world, right? And a parcel of that is the fact that you do have businesses here. We have businesses from Europe, we have businesses from Canada. I mean, primarily our membership is from Canada, but we've got, you know, US, Europe, the other Caribbean islands, etc. So without being a need for that, you might not have seen the build out of Barbados as a regional hub. So as we speak about global business, I agree with you. There are connections that can be made to the ordinary Barbadian citizen, and in the way in which we operate does have spin-off benefits.
Okay, all you callers on the line, I want you to stand by. We're coming over to the telephone line. I just want to ask one more of the many questions we have here before we go over to you. So just stand by. I want to ask you this in terms of what is the update on the threatening blacklisting by the EU, and what are the implications for this as we seek to do international business?
Well, it's not threatening. I mean, it's actually as of October 1 and October 6. So there are two blacklistings, actually. There's one on the AML anti-money laundering side, and then more recently, there's the one on the tax side. So both of those are actually in effect. But the good thing with that is that we have two ministries of government in terms of the Ministry of International Business and also the Attorney General's Office that are actively tackling these two issues. And they're putting tremendous resources behind it. And, you know, BIBA is confident that based on what they've outlined, that we are going to get off of those blacklists within the first quarter to the first half of next year. Derek can speak more about the sort of implications that this has for us. But, you know, we've kind of been here before. And the point that he made early in this call about the fact that we are a sovereign nation and that we do have a right, you know, to be able to set our own tax regimes in terms of how we intend to benefit and how we intend to fund our country's development and not to be beggared by anybody is an important point to make. Derek?
Before you get to the implications, I want you to tell us, the Barbadians, what is it exactly that is offending the EU and these people? What is it exactly that they are concerned about? Both for the in the tax regime, I suspect, is the corporate tax rate, and then also in the anti-money laundering regime.
So the implication that there has been is that in some way, by us not keeping up to a certain level of compliance, is that we are a harmful tax jurisdiction, right? That we are somehow going to harm the global tax infrastructure. And yes, thank you. I see your face.
Barbados. Okay.
Our tiny local Barbados, you know, with 0.00001 of the multi-trillion dollar transactions that are taking place globally. Yes, what we are doing here is supposedly going to have these harmful effects. But at the end of the day, we signed on to certain multilateral conventions. We have given our commitments that we are going to accede to certain requirements. And even though, as the world knows, COVID has caused a lot of setbacks in terms of being able to implement certain things, we found that the European Union particularly has taken a very hard line in terms of requiring us to hit certain goals that for one reason or the other might not.
I want you to be more specific. I want you to give it to me raw. Tell me, what is it specifically that goals that they want? They say, for instance, is our tax, corporate tax rate too low? What is it specifically that they are concerned about?
That has been said in some quarters, yes.
What's some of the other things?
Derek, did you want to go?
Let's look at what the OECD rated us on in September, and then based on the OECD's recommendation, the European Finance Ministers blacklisted us, put us on Annex 1 list. They looked at our tax regime and our international business legislation that was in place between the years 2015 all the way up to June 2018. And they looked and saw that based on what they had asked us to do in 2015, 16, and 17, we had not done as it relates to taking down the fence that showed a big difference between international corporations and domestic corporations. They looked at our tax regime that was in place then, totally ignoring the fact that in 2018, and by December 31st, 2018, we had amended about 14 different legislations, okay? Corporate, we looked at removing the IBCs, those original companies. We're all domestic companies now. We changed the tax regime from being two different regimes to one regime, which was a lower regime. And we did a whole lot of work, BIBA and the BIBA task force, along with the government, at writing a whole lot of things that they saw that were outside of the mandates that we signed up to. So they graded us, and they slapped this on us based on an old regime, totally disregarding what we did for the last 2 years. And they said that because of that, we are non-compliant or largely non-compliant with some of the treaties and the guidances that they put up there. The reality is that what are they trying to do, you asked earlier. You know, a few years ago, Oxfam said that these international financial centers are causing poverty in Africa. Their argument was that if the first world could get all of their taxes in, that they would then be able to give more to Africa and et cetera, and contribute more, et cetera. So the aim is that there are inefficiencies, structural and otherwise inefficiencies in these first world, so to speak, territories. And to combat that, they are seeking to say that we are taking some of the tax revenues from them, but they need to bring them home through their corporations. And if they can have a broader and wider tax intake, they can do more for themselves domestically and therefore for the rest of the world. So we are fighting a position that they have rested on, and they're doing what they can now to achieve that. The reality is, as Caramel said, we have signed on to some treaties, and we've done a whole lot to be in line with those. And on the tax side, let's speak first, we are very much in line with those. So the hope is the European finance ministers have committed to amending their lists twice a year only. And the next time is around February. So our expectation, and our Ministry of International Business is working hard on this, I know, is to have a supplemental review between now and then, and a reclassification by OECD. And OECD is the only place where 70% is a fail, because we were compliant or largely compliant on 7 of 10 indicators, but yet still we are then marked non-compliant, partially compliant, and therefore we are on annex 1. But their expectation is that by February, we can be off that annex, on annex 2, and therefore no longer blacklisted. For now, there will be some pains. For now, there will be some uncertainty as businesses look at their risk matrix and say that one of the things that they can or can't do is operate within a jurisdiction that is blacklisted. The reality is, companies that are here already will very hardly change, because it's not straightforward to change. It impacts the attraction of new business. And we are already seeing or hearing that new potential business, which was very advanced in the setup here, are now reconsidering other jurisdictions which are not on the list. So there is a risk that new business will take a second look or reconsider possibly coming here. So it's going to be a very long 5 or so months.
All right, just one last quick thing, and that is about the implications. Have we lost business or so on? Because listening to two of you all, it reminds me of my university days and lecturers talking about neo-colonialism and, you know, the kind of like coming down on the smaller countries, the big fish and the small fish. International business and foreign affairs. So what are the implications, and what is as a result, have Barbados lost any business, any revenue, anything like that yet because of these listings?
We have lost opportunities, yes. New business that would have come here and made real contribution to our tax revenues and to professionals' lives and other incomes. We have lost business all already. Some of our members are reporting this. New opportunities. Again, for those that are here already, they're asking questions, that the clients are asking questions, and we're having to tell them of what we've done. There are two things that are happening here simultaneously. It is between Biba and West Barbados, the government and every Barbadian. We are messaging the strength of the jurisdiction and the work that we've done. The next thing is that while we are messaging, the government is in the back working assiduously to get us all off these lists. Because there are real risks, and it's happening now, not so much to the existing business. We just have to tell the story for existing clients mostly, but for the new potential business, we're seeing loss. And again, as I was saying earlier, a company looking for a jurisdiction in which to set a subsidiary or a new entity has a number of parameters at which you look at the risk of the jurisdiction, banking within the jurisdiction, the legal system of the jurisdiction, and ultimately they will look at the listing of this jurisdiction on certain supranational lists like OECD, the EU, etc. And if you are ticked and you are strong in a number of these boxes, no problem. But then when you are weak in any of these boxes, and too many of these boxes are not strong, and the company, based on their internal policies, just cannot come to Barbados. A company that sees Barbados is blacklisted, and therefore a jurisdiction might go and say, well, we are going to put a 30% withholding tax on transactions to and from Barbados. That's an immediate hit to the bottom line of that structure. So therefore, it's a real impact that will be felt to the jurisdiction.
Okay, I'm going to go over to the line. Now, some of these calls were here before we introduced people, so I suspect we may run into a little tangle, but let's still try it nonetheless. Say a good morning and welcome to our first caller. Good morning, you're on the air. Good morning and welcome to the program. You're on the air. Okay. Good morning, Brass Stocks. You're on the air. Hello, good morning. Welcome to Down to Brass Stocks. You're on the air. Good morning. Are you there? Brass Stocks, good morning. Good morning, caller. You're there? Are we seeing to think, you know, we what we would have to do, and I think this is the best thing, make sure we kind of promote that we're going to have these types of programs so that we get people who definitely want, because I suspect those lights were for people wanting the usual Monday morning that, you know, but there are things that we talk about here that would play directly into the whole idea of international business. When you think about crime and so on, what impact would crime have on people wanting to come here to do business? Of course, we got to talk about the stamp and how that ties into the whole idea of international business. So I'll put that both of those to you in terms of the stamp and then this whole idea of rising violent crime in Barbados.
Okay, thanks, Corey. Dirt, should I continue?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Carmel, please.
Okay, so let me address both of those. But just to take a step back towards the blacklisting, and as I noted, there are two areas that we were being blacklisted in, both tax and anti-money laundering. And one of the implications on the anti-money laundering side is that also you're seeing that any financial transactions that have to come through Europe are also being they're also facing much higher scrutiny and also higher due diligence than they normally would have. So when you asked about implications, the other thing, so whereas on the business side, people might think, you know, okay, well, I'm not doing business within that realm, it's not really going to affect me. But one of the other, you know, wider hitting implications that we have heard about is a couple who were from Europe who were trying to purchase a home here. They had everything lined up and all they needed to do was transfer the money in order to purchase the home. And they were stopped. Their bank would not transfer money to a blacklisted country, right? So you understand something as simple as you believing that, you know, you found a willing buyer, you are a willing seller, you want to dispose of your home, you've got everything lined up. The potential buyers love it. They want to move to Barbados. They want to maybe make this their retirement home, et cetera. And they get stopped in their tracks because they cannot simply get the money into our jurisdiction. So those are the sort of implications that these blacklistings have for the ordinary person, right? Now, moving on to the two items. One, the welcome stamp. We are very encouraged by this new welcome stamp visa. Even though it was created ostensibly for the tourism sector, we in global business see it as a good introductory initiative for persons who are potentially coming here, want to become acquainted with Barbados, want to see how Barbados operates, and then might choose to actually, you know, relocate their business here if they are large investors or if they're a wealthy, what we call high net worth individual. So there, it works in tandem for us. We don't see this as in a silo, as it being a purely tourism initiative with only implications for the tourism sector. We truly believe that it's also going to have potential spin-off benefits for global business. And then also coming from our own members who are subsidiaries of larger companies, larger companies operating outside of Barbados, what we have heard is that their headquarters are interested in sending more staff down here to work remotely because they now have that option. Over the year, they're looking at sending whole teams. And so once that happens, the spinoff is going to be, again, in real estate, in terms of rentals. It's going to be in terms of keeping tourist attractions going, restaurants, taxi services, car rental companies, mm-hmm. and then, of course, just all of the home help. All sorts of people are now going to get benefits from that, people taking advantage of that welcome stamp. But then, as you have rightly mentioned, one of the things that we have to be very wary about is the crime situation. Barbados is still...
Before you go to that, Carmel.
Sorry, yes, there.
Yeah, and before we go to that, I want to speak on the stamp first, and then we go on, mm-hmm. on that there.
Okay.
And my comment here, I guess, touches on both. But Corey, I've been talking a lot in the recent weeks about mastering what we can control, especially considering the impact that the first world is trying to have on us. We have to make sure that we are mastering what we can control. Everything Carmel said about the 12-month visa stamp is exactly true. For me, I look at it also as evidence, real evidence, that Barbados can work and Barbados works. You saw what happened there. This income replacement program was conceived. It was built out. It was designed. It was implemented, and it was tweaked as needed in no time. We got a website done. We got a portal done where it could be registered online. Applications made online, and we did that in no time. We did that with the ministries and government, with the tourism sector. We did that with immigration. The legal persons in government got this done. The prime minister pushed this, and it happened in no time. So we celebrate the revenues we're going to make from that, but BIBA celebrates this as evidence that Barbados can work. If we want Barbados mm-hmm. to work, this is an example of that, and a real for me, it's a real celebration of that truth. Back to you, Carmel, on the crime situation.
Right. So I don't want to downplay the crime situation, but the important thing is that, relatively speaking, I would say that in terms of the soft attractions that investors look at when they look to Barbados, stability plays a large part, and that is stability of our political system, our economy, our society, and also, you know, our relatively low crime rate. You know, but again, as Derek pointed to, these are the sort of things that we cannot take for granted. We cannot rest on our laurels, and we must tackle, because we only need, you know, one too many international visitors or investors, etc., getting harmed in a major or significant way for that to be played out on the world stage, and that to really add another detriment or deterrent to investors coming here. So we do need to manage that very, very closely and critically. But I would say at this time, you know, our safety and security is still a large pull factor for people coming here. Even if you read the outgoing interview with the Argentinian ambassador that featured in this weekend's paper, just his story of the fact that within hours of coming to Barbados, you know, he put on his football gear and he took off jogging in search of a football game to join. He went all the way down, jogged all the way from Blue Orchards all the way down to Queen's Park. QEH came back up, found a game at the Garrison, joined in that game, and that was it. I mean, it was an amazing story to me, but this is the sort of safety and security that international people feel Barbados offers to them. I doubt that he could really consider doing something like that in some of our other Caribbean neighbors, you know? So this is something we must not lose, that sort of sense of Barbados being welcoming of the international investor or visitor and protective of all of us.
The military term comply and incompliant. So you have a issue where you have to be compliant, but at the same time making very strong representation or boycott together as a bloc to make sure that the people actually hear your voice and take these things into consideration. Because to me, this is tantamount to bullying, where you have more powerful countries that can leverage their aid and all their various things, kind of unfairing the smaller fish in the pond. And I do agree with the caller. We can't just sit back and just try to run to the goalposts all the time. But there must be some level of compliance as we are making those complaints, or we can see the crashing or the overheating of the international business sector in Barbados, which then for me, or the Caribbean, which then for me will be so difficult to rebuild. And I want to hear the caller and the panel on using that.
Yeah, and so Corey, that was one of the things I was going to respond and say in terms of the collective response. I mean, if you really do look at the communiques that have been coming out from CARICOM in response to the blacklisting, they have said, you know, that we are sovereign nations. They have used some of that language. We